Dr. Murphy, thefibrodoctor.com, author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. Thank you for joining me tonight for my Tuesday night Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia teleconference. I look forward to your calls this evening. I'm a board-certified chiropractic physician. I've been in practice for 24 years. I've specialized in fibromyalgia the last 18 years. For a number of years, I owned a very large integrative medical practice on the campus of Brookwood Hospital here in Birmingham, Alabama. I had five medical doctors who worked with me, and we used a very judicious use of prescription medications and relied mostly on natural supplementation and natural therapies to help our patients with fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, and other chronic illnesses. In 2003, I sold that practice. I got my boarded in nutritional medicine, and I went out solo. So since 2003, I have been out practicing by myself for the last number of years. Practice has evolved to be about 95% phone consults. I work with my patients by phone, and I get to work with patients all through North America. I'm able to do that because I am able to order lab work, whether that be blood work or functional medicine tests, the tests that I talk about in my book, for patients to be able to go get blood drawn in their hometown or for test kits to be sent to the patient, whether they are in Los Angeles, California, or London, England. And so my practice has changed quite a bit over the last several years, but it's still the basic thing that I've been doing for almost two decades, which is specializing in fibromyalgia. I've just released a series of videos, and I hope that you've had a chance to check those videos out, maybe some of you on the call because of that. And my intention is to continue to release more and more videos that help people realize that, number one, that there is hope. They do have a chance to be able to reverse their fibromyalgia. And I'm going to have one of my patients come on here in just a moment, and she's going to share her story. The other intention is for people just to realize that, you know, traditional medicine is not the only way and really is not the best way to try to solve your problems with your fibromyalgia, because traditional medicine really for fibromyalgia is a dead end. And if you've been in the medical system for a number of years with your fibromyalgia, you know that's the truth, because traditional medicine really is based on treating symptoms. And the problem with that model in fibromyalgia is there's just so many dadgum symptoms associated with fibromyalgia: poor sleep, diffuse aching muscle pain, anxiety, depression, fatigue, irritable bowel, restless leg syndrome. And the list can go on and on, right? And before you know it, you're on 6 to 12 different prescription drugs, and many of those drugs are being recommended to cover up the side effects of the drugs that you were on previously. I'm not anti-drug, but I'm anti-wrong drug or too many drugs or drug only. I just don't see that as being the solution for fibromyalgia. What I have learned in almost two decades of specializing and only working with fibromyalgia patients day in and day out is that the only hope for fibromyalgia patients is to get healthy. And that sounds very simplistic, I realize that, but it really is the case, because somewhere along the way, the person with fibromyalgia, their body breaks down and they're just never the same again. And drugs don't make you healthy. Now, they can be helpful, no doubt about it, and sometimes they're your only choice. And they can be life-saving, thank goodness we have them. But long-term, as a long-term treatment plan, we know that whether it's Lyrica, Cymbalta, Savella, Ambien, Mobic, or whatever the new drug du jour that comes out for fibromyalgia in the next few months, it's going to get a lot of press, but then it's going to be another drug that's cast aside because, again, there's not going to be one drug that can fix all these symptoms. And when you start throwing a bunch of drugs into the pot of soup, trying to get the recipe just right, you increase the risk of potential side effects. Case in point is Ambien. So many of my patients, when they first start with me, are taking Ambien. But the potential side effects of Ambien are the very same symptoms you'd see with somebody with fibromyalgia: diffuse achy muscle pain, flu-like achy pain, fatigue, fibrofog, depression, fluid retention, incoordination, imbalance, dizziness. Does that sound like fibromyalgia? Absolutely, it does. It sounds like the symptoms of fibromyalgia. So oftentimes you can't tell whether it's the medication or it's really the fibromyalgia that's causing the problem. So in my practice, what my goal is to find and fix the causes. My goal is to make sure that I'm not just covering up symptoms and doing it with natural supplementation. I don't think that's any better than trying to do it with prescription medication. I use functional medicine, which looks at how well or how poorly the different systems in the body are functioning. Then once I know that, then I know where the person is broken down, where they need the most help. And based on the protocol that I've been using for the last 20 years, I know what I need to do to fix that biochemistry. Once I fix the biochemistry and correct the physiology, the person now is able to start to reverse their symptoms and get their life back. For some people, most people, that's reestablishing deep restored to sleep. For others, it's fixing adrenal fatigue. Others, it's finding and fixing a low thyroid disease that's been there for a number of years that's contributing to their fibromyalgia symptoms. For other people, it can be neurotransmitters, problems, low serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, brain chemicals that need to be fixed. So these things can be found through proper testing, but unfortunately, most doctors in the conventional world, when you have fibromyalgia, they tend to kind of sweep all your symptoms underneath the fibromyalgia rug. They put the label on you, and you're kind of doomed for the next forever, because they just, when you come in to see them, they really run out of things to recommend, and they just tell you, oh, it's just your fibromyalgia. You're going to have to just learn to live with it. Well, one of the patients that didn't, you know, decided to do something different is my patient Laura, and I'm delighted to have Laura. And I'm delighted. She's done really well. We've got some more goals that we're working on, and I have no doubt we're going to achieve those. We've achieved quite a number of goals already, and I'm just so proud of her for her hard work and what we've been able to achieve together. Laura, if you're on the line, if you would be kind enough just to hit *6 and join me. So hopefully we got Laura on the line here. She's Laura, if you're there, if you'll hit *6. And while we're waiting on her to come on board.
Can you hear me?
I sure can. Hey, Laura, thanks for joining me tonight.
Sure.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about your story, just kind of how it all started, and go back a little ways and tell me how your illness became compromised, and then what you've tried that didn't work and what you've tried that has worked?
Okay, sure. Well, I'm 46 years old, and I would say about 20 years ago, I started experiencing neck pain, and it just, you know, continued and persisted, and I ended up going to see a rheumatologist. I don't know, that probably took about 5 years before I did that, and then kind of began my journey and on a lot of different prescription medicines and physical therapy. I tried physical therapy. I tried all kinds of different types of physical therapy. I was on Vioxx at one point. I was on Lyrica at one point, on a lot of different medications, just, you know, following the advice of the rheumatologist and trying different things. I just kind of got very frustrated. I was doing some looking on Facebook and saw Dr. Murphy's book and started looking into him and his information, and it all made sense to me, and I was just amazed. I actually didn't really always believe I had fibromyalgia, and would kind of just sweep it under the rug and, you know, call it arthritis. But when I read his book, everything that he said spoke to me so much. It was amazing. So I was on, when I came to Dr. Murphy 6 months ago, I was on Cymbalta, a muscle relaxant, tramadol. I went to a pain specialist as well and had some nerve ablation shots, needles in the back to try to help with pain. There's a specific wording for that, but I don't even recall what it is at this moment. But was on two different kinds of blood pressure medication, and I take Tylenol daily and take Celebrex as well, and just still had a lot of pain, and just would sometimes be so frustrated and in pain, and on some days it would bring me to tears. So through his program, it's been amazing. The difference is amazing.
So when you started, if I remember right, looking, because we talked today, I think you're on 7 different meds. I think you're on maybe 1 or 2 now.
Right.
And, And when we started, when I did some blood work on you, one of the things that we saw was that your hemoglobin A1C level was elevated, so it was a 6.2, and you know, we both had a concern that you might be heading into type 2 diabetes, which neither one of us wanted you to be heading. And then, of course, we did your blood work today, and your hemoglobin A1C has now dropped down to 5.4, which is, you can't really get much better than that. So anything under 5.7 is great. And your C-reactive protein level, I was just so thrilled to see that today. For those of people who don't know what that is, C-reactive protein is a marker for inflammation, and it can be any kind of inflammation, but primarily inflammation in the cardiovascular system, so the blood vessels and the heart. Anything above 3, and you've got an increased risk of heart attack and stroke, so it's not something to be taken lightly. And when we first tested Laura, what we saw was that she had so much inflammation in her body that her CRP was at 20. We retest and it's down to 6. Now, we still got a little ways to go, but as she continues to get her thyroid working correctly, her adrenals working correctly, and lose weight, that number should continue to come down. And then your triglycerides were, that's the fat, the blood fats, were 267. You never want that above 150, and they're down to, I think I told you, 122
yeah.
today. So pretty amazing. I mean, you've worked so hard to get better, and I think we would both agree that part of that was laying the foundation and then the anti-inflammatory weight loss diet.
Right.
Now, how much weight have you lost on that diet?
I have lost 62 pounds and 78 inches.
Wow.
In 5 months.
Yeah, and so when people hear that, they think, well, it's all about the weight loss. You know, it's not, because, you know, you tell me, I mean, the weight loss is great. You know, obviously, if you're carrying around extra weight, your blood pressure is going to go up, so you have to be on blood pressure medication. If you're carrying around an additional 50 pounds, it's like carrying around a small child on your back all day, hard on your knees, hard on your bones. For every additional pound of fat you have, your heart has to pump 10 miles of arteries, veins, and capillaries to support that fat. So it's very tiring. Since you've been on the diet, would you say that you've noticed an improvement in energy?
Absolutely. I've had a mm-hmm. huge improvement in energy. I'm a Girl Scout troop leader, and recently I had taken several of my Girl Scouts on a trip to a ski resort to go snow tubing, and I actually snow tubed with them. I never would have thought about doing that 5
yeah.
months ago.
Yeah, that's great. We shared that story. We had that in common, and I'm in really great health, and I was, you know, that was exhausting for me. So I was really excited when you shared that you were able to go tubing all day. That's a lot. It's fun, you know, but boy, it can really wear you out.
Yeah, and no doubt I was tired afterward, but like I said, that physically I would not have been able to do that before.
Yeah, good tire. Well, now tell me about, so I know you had quite a bit of pain when we first started, and how's your pain doing now?
My pain is greatly reduced. I feel so much better. I'm up and more active, and my husband and my kids notice a difference. They notice that I seem to feel better and that I'm, you know, happier and just healthier. They can tell, and I definitely notice as well. It's wonderful. It's and I'm not pain free, but I'm off of all but really one prescription medication, and I do take Tylenol, and I do have some pain, but it's very manageable, and it's tons less than it was before.
Mm-hmm. And you had some issues, not terrible, but you did have some issues really just with your sleep, and we were able to fix that. Did that make a difference when we did that?
Yes, absolutely. I actually thought that I slept pretty good, but now I realize what sleeping well and getting a good night's rest is. I definitely feel more rested on an everyday basis. So it's wonderful.
So I always, and you know, because it drives all my patients crazy, but I always use this scale. 0 to 10, 0 is where we started, and 10 is what we're shooting for. That's the best. So if we were a 0 when we started 5 months ago, where are you now? 0 is the worst, and 10 would be the best. Where would you say you are overall right now?
I would probably put it, okay, you'll laugh at me, but 8.5, because I'm not quite there, but I feel so much better.
Yeah, I would agree with you because we still have to get that CRP level down. I know you got some goals to continue to lose some more weight. You're well on your way. You're doing fantastic. And your metabolism is really going up, so I think you're just going to continue to improve each and every week, if not each and every month. Well, so tell me what, when we first met, I mean, what, well, I guess even prior to our first consult, that new patient consult, what were you thinking prior to that consult? What were your reservations about doing a phone consult? Because I think that's kind of intimidating to some people.
Right. It was very intimidating. Honestly, I was very skeptical. How would this
mm-hmm.
work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. how would you really be able to help me? And
mm-hmm.
and especially over the phone. So yes, I was definitely skeptical and, you know, just, you know, a little anxious, but you know, as we started everything and got the test results back and worked towards things, as I started to see results, then that's when, you know, my confidence built and I felt much better about it. And it's been an amazing journey, an amazing transformation, and I can't thank you enough.
Well,
for getting my life back on track.
Well, I so appreciate that. I mean, I love doing it. I mean, it's what I love to do, and I love helping people who, like yourself, who are real proactive and, you know, ready to do something. So it was a big, you know, big leap for anybody. I totally get that. But I think so many people get stuck like the deer in the headlights, and they stay stuck for years and years and years. They don't ever try to do something different. So, well, what would you share in closing? What would you share for the people that are listening or may listen to a replay of this? What advice would you give them?
I you need to be your own health advocate and do your research. And
mm-hmm.
I think Dr. Murphy is awesome. He's wonderful. He's a godsend. And I would highly recommend to anyone who's experienced some of the things that I have, or battle fibromyalgia like I have, I would highly recommend the program. Go for it.
I like
Take
that to be
back.
Your own advocate. Yeah, thank
right.
you so much. Thanks,
sure.
Laura. Thanks for joining me, Laura. I look forward to talking to you in the next couple weeks.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things you heard there from Laura was that you know, she really feels like she's kind of got her life back. I don't think she really put it in that word, or maybe she's not. But so many people, you know, fibromyalgia just robs you of everything. I mean, it robs you of your health, obviously. But it because of that, then you start to withdraw from life as you get worse. So you find that you're doing less and less with your family, maybe with your children or your spouse. Certainly with your extended family, you're probably less and less social engagements. So your friends start to just not even call you anymore because they don't know whether you're going to show up. And, of course, you can't make plans because you don't know if it's going to be a good day or a bad day. And this goes on and on. And before you know it, you have totally become somebody you couldn't imagine yourself being. I work with a lot of patients who are type A's, go-getters, doers. And, you know, they used to work out and exercise and work 40 hours a week. And maybe they volunteered at the school, volunteered at the church. And now, you know, it's a good day for them. It's, can they get out of bed and get dressed? So some of the patients that I work with are sad. And some of you can identify with that. I think that a lot of times patients with fibromyalgia, they just get beat down so much with this illness because they go to doctor after doctor, and the doctor's preaching the same message over and over again that either you're lazy or you're crazy or you're just depressed, you need another pill. They tell you to exercise more. Well, you know, you wish you could exercise, but there's no way you can exercise. They tell you need to get more rest. Well, you can't sleep. You know, that's one of your problems. But they tell you that you need to get more rest. And they tell you got to lose weight. Well, you know, you wish you could lose weight. In Laura's case, like a lot of my patients, she had a thyroid issue that no one ever found. And she had a problem with with adrenal fatigue. And so there was no way she was going to be able to lose weight, no matter how hard she tried. So it can be very, very frustrating. In my goal, in my practice, and in my intention is to try to get a message out there for people to realize that they have another option. And I certainly don't have all the answers. I definitely don't. But what I do know that what I do works, and I know that from the hundreds and hundreds of patients just like Laura who share their story, that it just makes sense to me from doing this for so many years that you do it. There's no one remedy for everybody, and everybody is different. And so you have to treat the individual person. There's no here it is, you know, you do this and you're going to get well. It doesn't work that way. I wish it did. So it would be easier for everybody. The treatment is very individualized because everybody is different as far as what's going on with them biochemically. But if you focus on finding and fixing the causes instead of treating the symptoms, you stand the best chance of reversing the symptoms and getting your life back. What I'd like to do now, I've already got the phone set up, the line set up, so you can hit *6 and come on the line and ask a question. So if you got any people out there with a question or a comment they'd like to share, if you've got any, if you've got any patients that are under, you know, working with them right now, if you got something you'd like to share, we're certainly, you know, this is what this is for. But if you'll hit *6, that'll bring you on the line. If you'll state your name, then I can call you out individually. And then after you ask your question or make your statement, if you'll self-mute yourself again so we won't get any background noise.
Dr. Murphy?
Yes.
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
I sent an email to you, and I've been kind of playing phone tag with Juno to set up the phone consultation.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a question about that. I know that the initial phone consult is $129. And I was wondering if I could ask how much it is after that initial phone consultation.
Well, everybody is different. So everybody's situation is different. And what I try to do, Lisa, is in that first consult, what my goal is to see, number one, is what's going on with that individual. So I would go through that questionnaire. If they have any old labs, I look at that and see if there's anything that's been missed or anything that I can share that would be helpful to the patient in making recommendations of what they what their options are, whether that's working with me or working with somebody else. Or and then the other thing I'm trying to do is I'm going to decide if this is somebody that I think I can help, and if I think I can help them, then I'm going to share that with them, and then I'm going to recommend based on what's going on with them, testing, if they need testing, or I'm going to recommend some type of treatment plan. So everybody's different. Everybody's plan is its unique plan. So it's hard to answer that. It's hard to answer that question.
Okay. Okay. I asked in an email, I think it was last week when you did the teleconference, that there was a woman that was asking questions, and she was on a lot of prescription medication and kind of a complicated case. And you said something to the effect that she wanted to know if she should start on the fibro vitamin pack, or if she should wait until she had the chance to do the phone consult with you. And I think you kind of advised her to wait. And I had started, FibroFog. I can't remember the name.
That's okay. You're doing great. You take your time. You're doing wonderful.
The vitamin pack.
This Jumpstart.
Jumpstart, that's the name. I had been taking it for a couple of months, and I heard that, and I actually ran out of the vitamins. I had more of the digestive enzymes and so forth. But I was wondering if I should hold off on ordering another vitamin pack, or if I should just go ahead and order them.
Well, so for those individuals who don't know what the Fibromyalgia Jumpstart Pack is, let me just share that, and then I'll answer your question. So the Fibromyalgia Jumpstart Pack is a group of supplements that I put together to shore up the usual deficiencies in a fibromyalgia patient. My goal was to try, if you've got 15 tacks in your foot, my goal was to try to pull out as many tacks as I could so you'd notice a difference. So one of the things is the CFS Fibro formula, which is 8 or 9 pills. It's a multivitamin, fish oil, malic acid, extra magnesium, several things in there to help with pain and energy. And then there's a digestive enzyme. There's the 5-HTP, which is 5-hydroxytryptophan, which is that plus the CFS Fibro makes the serotonin. And then there's adrenal cortex. And so a lot of people will take that, and they'll do well. I mean, that's what I talk about in the book. And so a lot of people, that's where they start. I never meet them. I never hear from them. We've got patients in 8 different countries, and so, you know, we hear they're doing good. Other people will try that approach, and they don't get very far because they're so complicated. And again, that's not a panacea. It's not because the people that I work with individually, they found that they're using that, and either they're not getting better or they're not getting as well as they should. To answer your question, what I share with people is that if they're going to do a consult with me, then I would tell them to hold off on ordering any supplements if they know they're going to do a consult. And the reason why is because if I feel like they need some tests, or if I accept them, because there's an acceptance process, then I'm going to tell them what they're most likely deficient in. And if I do testing, we're going to know without a doubt exactly what you need. So it just takes all the guesswork out of it. Most patients that I work with, they're going to take some form of that, but many take something different than that.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. When I ran out of the vitamin packs, I went to my local health food store and got some liquid multivitamins, and I've been taking those. But I hadn't, I mean, when I first started taking the Jumpstart package, I noticed a difference, and I felt more energetic. But I've been battling sinus infections since December. I got this virus that was going around, and my sinuses are just have a tendency to go to infection. And I tried to battle the virus, and it eventually turned into an infection. And I don't like going to get antibiotics, but that's what I ended up resorting to after, you know, missing work. And I work full time on top of battling the fibromyalgia. And so to be able to stay at work, I went and got antibiotics and took that course and got a little better, but it came back on me. I went on a different antibiotic and thought I got over it, and it came back again. And so I've been trying different, like odorless garlic and some different supplements, and I just can't seem to knock it out. I think one of the main reasons for that is because even though I went by the advice in the book, and I worked up to 400 milligrams of 5-HTP. I take that with supper, and I still can't go to bed and go to sleep within 30 minutes and sleep all night. And so I take melatonin supplements on top of that, and I'm still waking up and getting up to go to the bathroom at least once a night, and waking up in between as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not getting that deep restorative sleep.
So you wake up in the middle of the night, and it's just hard to go back to sleep.
Well, yeah. I wake up and have to get up and go to the bathroom, and usually that sets me up for the rest of the night, where I'll wake up at least a couple of times and lay there for 10 minutes trying to go back to sleep.
When you go to lay down to go to sleep, what happens that prevents you from going to sleep? Do you catch your second wind? I mean, do you get more energy, kind of wake up when you should be going to sleep? Is it hard to turn your mind off? Or
my mind starts racing.
Okay.
I read in the book about a supplement that you suggested for that, and I can't recall the name of it, but I've been taking that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps with the racing of my mind. It helps to quiet my mind down. So I can usually fall asleep, you know, between 30 to 45 minutes
okay.
with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still waking up too much. I'd like to get to the point where I could just sleep through the night.
Yeah. Well, you want to, you know, it's really not even that, because, you know, it doesn't, I mean, ideally that's what you want. But if you were to wake up during the night and you were to use the bathroom and you could go back to sleep, you know, that would be fine. The big thing you want is that when you wake up the next day, you actually feel like you slept. You feel, maybe not feel like a spring chicken, but you feel like, wow, you know, I did get some rest. I feel rested. What happens with most people, and I would assume with you as well, is that even if it's even if you've got your eyes closed, you wake up the next day and you really just don't feel much better.
Yeah.
5-HTP is definitely a step in the right direction. Now, can you not take that at bedtime? Did you try it at bedtime?
When I was working up, I tried taking, I think it was like 200 milligrams at bedtime, and it didn't make me nauseous, but it did upset my stomach a little bit, so I thought it'd be better to take it with food.
Okay. Well, you can do that. It works best if you take it at bedtime on an empty stomach with a little bit of grape juice. The grape juice helps it get into the past the blood-brain barrier, so it gets into your brain quicker, and it works. It can cause nausea. It's rare, but every once in a while somebody will have that issue. But so you may want to revisit that and see, you know, if it does that again, obviously you want to take it with food. If you take it with food, now it's not going to make you sleepy, but it will build up in your system. How much melatonin mm-hmm. are you taking right now?
It depends on how well I feel like I've slept the night before. If, like, tonight, uh-huh. I didn't feel like I slept very well last night. And so, like, tonight, I'll probably go home and about 30 minutes to an hour before I want to go to sleep, I'll take either 3 or 6 milligram of the slow release melatonin, and then I have 3 milligram, I call it a melt away, that I stick under my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And
sublime.
I use
yeah.
it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I use that right before I get into bed, along with that other supplement that helps with the brain racing.
Okay. So what you could do is you certainly could increase the sublingual melatonin all the way up to 9 milligrams, experiment with that and see if that will put you to sleep, and you see if you go into a deeper sleep so you stay asleep. And then if
yeah,
that doesn't work, you could, you know, then you could try that time release. Do you take, are you taking any antidepressants right now? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm taking Lyrica and Prestique I take in the morning because I heard on one of your teleconferences. I was taking it at night, but you advised somebody to take those antidepressants in the morning.
Definitely.
So I take that in the morning. I take Lyrica at night.
Uh-huh.
And I also take Lunesta at bedtime.
Oh, wow. So you're taking Lunesta and you're still not sleeping. Okay.
Right.
Well, so the Lyrica, I'm suspicious of the Lyrica and the Lunesta causing the brain fog issues.
Mm-hmm.
Are you taking any non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like Mobic or Celebrex or Aleve, Advil, any of those things?
No, I try and stay off of those. I don't even take ibuprofen unless I just am really in a lot of pain. And if I do take ibuprofen, I do it like in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sensitive to caffeine, and I've tried getting off of all caffeine, and I just can't give up my morning coffee.
mm-hmm.
But I try to stay away from, you know, ibuprofen or any of those things that might affect
sure.
my sleep.
Sure. Well, one of the things about the antidepressants, the SSRIs and SSNRIs, Prestige, Savella, Celexa, those medications, they actually deplete your natural sleep hormone, melatonin. So that is playing somewhat into it. Do you have any problems with your thyroid? Do you have any weight gain or cold hands, cold feet, hair loss, anything that would be make you suspicious that you've got a thyroid issue?
I've never had a doctor bring it up to me, but after reading, you know, on your book, I'm starting to suspect because I do have cold hands and feet a lot, and especially the last 10 years, I've been experiencing more hair loss. I just feel tired all the time, but I don't know if that's the fibromyalgia or if it might be a thyroid issue.
Sure, sure. Are you in the morning when you wake up, are you hungry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always have breakfast.
Mm-hmm. If you miss a meal, do you feel bad?
Yeah.
Do you have low blood pressure?
Sometimes it's low, but I'm on a medication for high blood pressure because for the longest time it was high, and they put me on lisinopril. I also have type 2 diabetes, and
you got some weight issues, problem with your
yeah,
weight.
That was diagnosed after mm-hmm. years of being overweight.
Okay. Well, so one of the things that happens when you carry that extra weight is sometimes you get insulin surges. That's where one of your hormones is overreacting, trying to get sugar into your cells or glycogen into your cells, and having a problem doing that because your cells are filled up. You know, you've got too much carbohydrate you've stored over the years. But what that can do is that can interfere with your sleep. It's the same kind of thing. You see that with people who drink alcohol. It's very relaxing, but it can affect your blood sugar during the night. Same thing mm-hmm. with carrying around that extra weight. I look forward. So I would tell you, if you're not taking the supplements, definitely if you're going to do a consult with me, I would say wait and let me do some detective work and see. The supplements are great, you know, they're a good start, but I think you're always going to be better off if you find exactly what the cause is and you fix that. Right now, you're not real sure, neither am I. I'm not real sure what exactly is going on without spending more time with you and possibly, you know, recommending you do some testing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Juno called my house today and left a message, and I called back and left a message for her. So hopefully we'll get in touch tomorrow and be able to set up that phone consult. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, great, Lisa. I look forward to talking to you, too, real soon. So thanks for your question. I look forward to talking to you soon.
In the meantime, I have just one other question, if I could.
Sure.
I don't want to hog the phone, but do you have any suggestions about helping me fight off the sinus infection that I can't get rid of?
Well, if you get chronic sinus infections, I always suspect low thyroid.
Okay.
That's one of the things. But right now, immediately, if you got an acute infection, what I would do is I would get a Neil Med rinse kit. And you can get those at Walmart. And you know what I'm talking about. And so you get.
Yeah, I do that once a day, every day.
Perfect. So now what I would encourage you to do is when you fill that up with warm water and the buffered sodium solution, put several drops of betadine in there. Okay, now betadine. You can get it over the counter. It's that orange stuff we used to paint on ourselves. Now, it kills everything. It kills viruses, bacteria, and yeast. So if you got something in your sinuses, when you do that nasal rinse, you know, you just squeeze it up there, wash your sinus cavities out, and that betadine will kill everything up in there.
Okay.
The other thing, if you're keeping congestion, then you'll want to make sure you're taking guaifenesin. And guaifenesin is what's in Mucinex. It just costs a lot more because it's got the name Mucinex on it. But you can find guaifenesin at the health food store, and you just take 400 milligrams, three times a day, and that really loosens everything up in the sinuses.
Okay, I've been taking Mucinex extra strength once a day, so I could probably take that twice a day.
I would go twice a day. Yep, absolutely.
And how many times a day should I use the betadine in the sinus?
Just once. Yeah, just once is enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
Once is enough. There is.
Okay, I'll try that then. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Thanks.
Okay, so if we got anybody that's got a question, if you're already on the line, then please ask away. If you haven't come on the line, then you'll need to hit *6. That'll bring you on the line.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Ramona.
Hi, Ramona.
Hi, how are you? And my question is, I live in Chicago, and I've had fibromyalgia for roughly about 15 years. Hello?
I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay. And I don't want to take a lot of drugs right now. I've had a problem with my thyroid. It was hypothyroidism, so I had the weight gain, and I've had problems with a lot of pain. And I'm trying to find a more natural approach because I don't want to be on a lot of medications, which I am on some medication now. I'm on blood pressure medicine, and I do take ibuprofen to control my pain. Mm-hmm. And I'm also on thyroid medication.
Okay.
Basically, what I'm trying to do, which is hard to, it's been kind of hard for me when I talk to the doctor. It's like, oh, it's your fibromyalgia, oh, it's this, it's that. And I just feel like nobody is really listening to me. It's like, I know there's got to be a deeper cause for my pain, but I just don't know how the pain cycle goes sometimes. It's kind of confusing at times. I've had it. I was diagnosed with it in 1998 after a couple of car accidents that I was in, and I had a lot of pain in my neck and in my back. And one thing that I do remember is I went to a chiropractor on my own, and that was due to an insurance that I had. And that did help me quite a bit by going to the chiropractor. Mm-hmm. And I was pain-free, maybe at least 95%. And I was doing some exercises lightly. But over the years, the past maybe 5 to 6 years, my fibromyalgia has gotten worse, and I have more flare-ups.
Yeah, what happens is with fibro is, and I use this analogy, and I go into much more detail about in it in my book, but what happens is you deplete your natural stress coping chemicals. And you do that because you're not getting deep restorative sleep and your body is broken down. And we're all born with a stress coping savings account. And in that account, we have certain chemicals that allow us to deal with stress. One of those is a hormone called serotonin. And the mm-hmm. higher your serotonin level, the higher your pain threshold. So what happens mm-hmm. over the years when you have fibromyalgia, if you don't find and fix the causes, is you continue to suffer with a low serotonin state that's being driven by whether it's thyroid or adrenals or food allergies or whatever it is. But your pain is magnified.
I'm listening.
And so pain that 2 years ago that maybe was not a problem, now everything's a problem. And so that's why you've got that pain, and it's getting worse, absolutely.
Right. And I also ran into high blood pressure. My blood pressure is, I'm on blood pressure medication now. I'm taking I can't think of the name of it right now, but I think it's Valsacort.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking that, and I'm on Synthroid.
What's your dose of Synthroid?
125 micrograms, I believe.
Micrograms. Do they ever increase it? Do they ever go up, or do they ever go down in that dose?
No, it has been, it's been like that since I want to say 2010. I've had two thyroid surgeries. Mm. And that was due to a nodular that was found in my thyroid that was growing real bad. So the first one was in 1995, and that one grew very large. It was like 10 centimeters.
Did the second surgery, did they take your entire thyroid out, or did they?
Right, the second, you're right, the second.
Okay, so.
The second, so I have no thyroid.
Yeah, and then they just put you on this dose and they left you there. You know, the problem with that is, if I were a betting man, and I'm not, but I would bet that you still have a lot of, if not all of, the thyroid symptoms you had before. So weight gain, hair loss, cold hands, cold feet, tingling your hands and feet. You probably have high cholesterol. The reason why I would bet that is because what you said is they tell you you have fibromyalgia, and so you know they just tell you, well, it's just your fibromyalgia. So you have no energy, your hair's falling out, and you feel terrible, and they tell you, well, it's just your fibromyalgia. They're not going further in their testing. They need to do some detective work, and what they'll probably find is that Synthroid is either not the right dose or it's the wrong medication for you. It's not converting. You're taking synthetic T4, and that's got to convert into the active T3. But for some people, you can't do that because your body won't let you do it. And so you can take that medicine all you want to, and you can go back every 6 months, and they can run your TSH, your thyroid test, which is a real basic test that most doctors run, and they're going to tell you that it looks good. But you know you don't feel good. You can't be right. So something's got to be off there, and I would encourage you to, I'd encourage you to get my book and read that chapter on thyroid, see if that doesn't make sense to you, and then get your doctor or get somebody to do those tests for you. Absolutely.
That makes sense. Because, I mean, I've noticed the changes now in the weather. When my sinuses bother me or if I get a cold or infection, oh, my God, my body just goes completely haywire. I'm just in so much severe pain. I mean, I can't hardly stand it. It's terrible. I mean, I have to take the Motrin. Motrin. I only take it as needed. I don't take Motrin every day. They did prescribe me a triptyline as for the fibromyalgia, and I only have to take it at night. And I just, you know, my thing is I try to be my best advocate for myself because I just don't want to take a lot of drugs. I feel like the thyroid medicine is enough, and now I'm on high blood pressure medicine. I take the Motrin, you know, when the pain gets unbearable, and I may have to do that maybe a week or two before it really calms down. And it's like I'm never out of pain totally. Just, you know, when it goes to a 9 and 10, because I have pain throughout the day, but it's tolerable. So it's like maybe a three or a four, just to give you, you know, a baseline of what my pain level is. And then at times, sometimes my pain level will just shoot up for nothing. And I don't even know what caused it or why it happened.
Well, that's where, you know, you want to be thinking, what is the cause? Because, you know, you get fibromyalgia and they tell you that, you know, that's you have pain because you got fibro. Well, why is that? So one of the things for you is anytime you're carrying around extra weight, extra fat cells, you store inflammatory chemicals, and that drives up your inflammation. So that's not all of it by any means. But your thyroid is not working, so your metabolism's way down, and you've gained weight, and you're going to have trouble getting that off. But that's where you store inflammatory chemicals, but poor sleep, being run down in your serotonin level, if that's low, and I suspect it is, that makes your pain threshold low. So, yeah, you got a lot of work to do, but, the good news is if you're willing to do some research, you be an advocate, your own advocate, I think you'll find a lot of stuff, and obviously I'm going to recommend my book because it's all in there, but I'd recommend you get your book and start going through that. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that sounds good. It's taken me a while to really come on and listen to, because I was seeing it in my emails. I just, you know, was feeling bad, didn't have a chance, and I said I'm gonna take time out today to really go on and listen and see what kind of informative.
Well, then I really want to motivate you. Then, if you've been thinking about it, I really want to motivate you to get the book and see if it makes sense to you. I think it will, and I think you're going to find it very, very valuable. And if you start using the protocols and you hit a dead end or you're not feel like you need more help, then just like Laura, you can call and set up a phone consult.
Okay. Well, you know, I really appreciate it. You know, I'm grateful for this line and And I've been researching myself. You know, I've gotten books. I've been, you know, trying to really just understand this cycle or this syndrome. It's not like I haven't been trying. And then, you know, I ran into so many problems as far as, you know, with my job situation. And, I mean, I have a lot of stressors, but somehow underneath the thin lining, I'm still motivated to be my own best advocate, you know.
Good. Well, I look forward to you joining me again on a call or any way
okay.
we can help. Feel free to call the clinic, too. So
I sure will.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
You're so welcome. So we got just a few more minutes. I know there's probably maybe it's a couple other people, and I'm going to try to hang on a few more minutes and see
okay.
if we got any other questions.
Okay.
So if you've got a question, if you'll hit *6, that'll bring you on the line, and I'll answer your question.
Hello. Yes, I have a question.
Hello.
Yeah. So we got two people on the line, and so with both of you, well, hold on. I'll get both of your questions. Can I get your name?
Sharon.
Sherry. Okay. Sherry, if you'll go first, and I know we got another caller, I'll get you second, okay? So Sherry, go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I just ran across your material, and I actually ordered the 5-HTP. I don't think I've ever slept well in my entire life, but I have a lot of things going on. I have lupus, which is diagnosed in 83.
Mm-hmm.
Then the fibromyalgia came about 1999, and then adrenal insufficiency because I was being treated with this prednisone nonstop for 14 years. So I'm not adrenal fatigue. I don't produce it at all. And yes, I have thyroid issues, but one of the things that I'm really thinking is that the doctor's not looking at what you were saying in terms of the conversion from the FT to the F3 because I have the symptoms. The lab work always looks good. I also have a nodule, so he claims that it's stable. However, I keep saying, well, you know, the symptoms are still there, though. What do we do about that? With all the other complicated things that I have going on, it's, I feel like I'm a professional guinea pig.
Well, unfortunately, most doctors don't know what to do with somebody with fibromyalgia, and that can sound kind of mean-spirited, but it's just the truth, and those on the line, they know exactly what I'm talking about. I had a patient today who told me that her doctor said that she was above his pay scale, that she was out of his league. And I think what happens is, you know, doctors really, they want to be helpful, and what they enjoy doing is helping people. But when they run into somebody that's got fibromyalgia or a very complicated person like you, Sherry, that's got lupus and fibromyalgia and adrenal, Addison's disease, or if they run into somebody like that, that's very intimidating to them because they can't just make a kind of routine recommendation and know you're going to be better. If you've got type 2 diabetes, they can tell you take metformin, you're going to come back in 3 months and you're going to be doing well in their book. I mean, you know, but when you've got all these symptoms, oftentimes they don't even know where to start. And a part of that is because the drugs that are out there really don't work for fibromyalgia, at least not long term. And they know that. So they get very discouraged, and they just really don't know what to do with you. They really don't. And they try to almost make you feel bad, you know, that it's your fault that the medicine doesn't work. But it's not your fault. The protocol is not right for you. They're not doing the detective work and taking the time to really figure out what's going on to solve the problem.
And in addition to that, I'm a nurse, so they assume that, you know, well, a little bit arrogance on my part. And if I say, you know, well, you gave me this before, and these are, you know, I had reactions to this, and I don't want to go down that road. Then, of course, I'm being a little non-compliant. So, two years ago, it's me questioning the whole time. They had me on Lyrica, and put me on Prozac for hot flashes. In addition to that, I was on Tramadol for pain, which also increases the SSR, SSRI. And I went into a serotonin toxicity. Nobody's paying attention at all.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you're definitely complicated case, no doubt about it.
Well, I'll start with your book, and I'll
That's where I definitely would start. I would start with the book, make sure that it resonates with you, makes sense, and if you got questions, call the clinic, and then if you feel like you need more help, then obviously I'd recommend you do a phone consult.
Okay. Now, the
question is,
in terms of the lab work, would you just give me suggestions for the lab work so the doctor can order it, so it goes to my insurance, or would I need to go through you for the lab work?
I'm not sure what you're asking. So you want me to give you suggestions now to have blood work done?
No. I'm just saying, is that the way it would work?
If you work with me, if I accept your case, if I tell you I can help you, but this is what we need to do, and I share that with you, here's your option.